Hey, welcome back, travelers, to Relish the Journey. As always, I'm your host, Miles Biggs. And I know I must say this every time, but this is a really cool episode. I just get enamored with all of these guests because everybody's got such a great story. This week's guest is Jennifer Caraway, founder and operator of the Joy Bus. It's a nonprofit out in Arizona that focuses on delivering chef-inspired meals to cancer patients. And her whole life's mission is about spreading joy to those that really need it. And I just loved our conversation. We talked about starting a nonprofit, what that's like, being a mom and a single mom, what's that like? And then also something pretty cool, she won Chopped, everybody. That TV show Chopped, she was a winner. So really cool insight into what it's like to be on TV, what it's like to start a business, family, balancing it all. Jennifer Caraway and the Joy Bus. Take a listen, enjoy, and be sure to listen to the end for how you can support the Joy Bus and their awesome mission of spreading joy to those in need. So, Jennifer, thank you so much for agreeing to have this conversation. I know we played a lot of phone tag to get to this point, but I'm very excited to talk to you about you and your organization and how we can just spread the word about what you're doing because I love what you're doing.
Oh, thanks. I'm super stoked that you're interested in our mission.
Well, so let's talk about that. If obviously I'm in Pennsylvania, you're in Arizona. And so a lot of people in PA and anywhere not in Arizona or locally might not know what you're doing. So if you would give me like an elevator pitch for what is the Joy Bus, the diner that you run, your background, how would you describe that to people that are just finding you for the first time?
Well, the Joy Bus, we are a 501c3 nonprofit, and we exist to provide free meals to homebound cancer patients. Beautiful meals, organic meals. We get the produce from Crooked Sky Farms every week, this amazing, generous farmer that donates all the produce. And we created the diner roughly 3.5 years ago. And the diner is a hybrid social entrepreneurship that exists solely to provide the funding for the meals that we provide to our cancer patients. And it not only is, in theory, is to provide the funding for the patients, but it also gives us the kitchen we need to prepare the meals. The Joy Bus itself has been around since the end of 2011. And when we opened the diner doors, about 3.5 years ago, well, started it 3.5 years ago, opened the doors actually about a little over 2 years ago. We went from making roughly 12 to 15 home visits each week to over 50.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, the diner is working. It's not providing as much funding as we had initially hoped, but it is giving us the kitchen. It is allowing us to expand the service, and it's allowing more people to find out what we're doing so that they can volunteer. So it's working. It's just not providing all the funding we had initially hoped for.
Sure. So what did you initially hope for?
We were hoping that we wouldn't have to be like every other nonprofit, that we were continually begging for funds.
Sure.
Yeah, being a charity is rough. It's just, I mean, you're in the game of begging, like just telling everyone what you do, please, you know, can you support us? And it seemed like every time that we had a news article or a TV appearance that we would get 5 more patients who needed our service and a $25 donation. So I was really hoping that with the diner, it would just provide all the revenue that we needed to, you know, to expand the service. Well, we've been able to expand the service. It's just not providing all the revenue we need just because now you're not only operating a full service restaurant, but you're operating a charity from it as well.
Sure. And there are plenty of expenses that go along with a full service restaurant to break even and then have something left over for the nonprofit.
Totally, totally. Breaking even is a goal because we do need the kitchen. So we were going to incur the cost of a lease regardless.
Okay.
And that was kind of my pitch to my board. Like, look, we need a kitchen. I've outgrown my house as far as preparing the meals for our patients. So we're going to incur the cost of a lease regardless. So why not have it open to the public and have 100% of the proceeds fund our programs for our patients?
Wow. So before we get more into the program, because there's definitely a lot to unpack there and talk about, I want to talk about you and what fuels you and what where this idea came from and what really motivates you to, you know, talk about just breaking even so you have the kitchen to give things away again. I mean, most entrepreneurial people are talking about let's make money, not just break even. So there's definitely something behind the story where, you know, money's not just what fuels you. So I like to unpack that a little bit. So what got you started in cooking? If we start there, I mean, how long have you been cooking and where'd that passion come from?
Holy cow. Well, I've been cooking as long as I can recall, you know, as a kid, typical, you know, I'm old, you know, born in the 70s, typical latchkey kid, you know, not many things to eat in the home. So I pretty much just learned how to create things with what I had. Like, God, I can do amazing things with a pack of ramen that you would not believe. I just grew up really loving to create things with food. And the, you know, cooking, even like baking cakes for my brother or sister, just the kind of love in being able to express yourself with art. It's art. My first job was dishwashing in a Mexican restaurant. From there, I went to the line and there to the manager. Granted, this was like a little ghetto Mexican restaurant in like a mall. This was like some amazing space. But I think I just got the bug early and then started working early. And I think once you, it's this industry, I think once you get into it, it's really difficult to escape because it is that, the rush, the adrenaline, you're putting out fires every single day. It's something different. It's creative. It's passion. Like, there's just so much in one day that I don't think the average person with a normal, quote, job experiences. And I think once you get a taste of it, it's really difficult to escape.
Sure. And so you said, quote, job. So would you say for you, it's more of a just complete lifestyle, not even a job. It's just you.
Yeah, that's the fortunate and unfortunate thing. It's definitely a lifestyle, which my children, you know, from washing dishes, busing tables, everything, I kind of just worked my way up in the industry to owning my own restaurants. And so my children have been with me throughout the ownership process from ground up. And so growing up, every restaurant they'd walk into and they'd be like, okay, so in my restaurant, it's going to look like this, this, this. I'm like, over my dead body. You're going to school. You're getting a degree. You're going to get a real job. No, none of this restaurant industry.
That's funny. So when you say that, so did you not go to quote unquote school? I mean, did you not go to college? And this is just what you've done since high school?
I actually went to the hotel restaurant management program at NAU, at Northern Arizona University in Flagstaff. Okay. But towards, I would say maybe 3 years in, I broke my leg snowboarding and moved to Portland to play in a punk rock band.
Okay.
So that was it with my college career.
All right, this is awesome. I love this. So so you left college and that's what you did then?
Yeah, I went to Portland to go play in a punk rock band and actually ended up opening the first restaurant of my own in Portland.
So I'm a firm believer, and I know you've only listened to a few of these, like we said before we came on, but I really think college is going to be just, you know, passe. It's not going to be a real thing in the next couple of years. Like, YouTube University is a real thing that people need to start acknowledging. And the School of Hard Knocks has been looked down upon, but it should really be just praised because there's just so many things you learn outside the classroom that the classroom almost does damage to some kids where they're so used to the textbook and not real life. So where I'm going with this, and I'm just curious, I love this right now, is just I want to know, in a rock band in Portland, leaving college, you know, fumbling through your first restaurant, I mean, that's its own degree right there, whether you have a piece of paper or not. So how did that help fuel you? What did you learn that brought you to where you're at today?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm obviously with you on that thought process. I really do think that life experience is far more valuable than paying someone to tell you which direction you should take and how you should get there. And not to knock it in its entirety, but I do believe that college exists for some.
Sure.
Me, on the other hand, I'm not very good at sitting still and listening to people tell me what they think I should do. But I know there's a lot of people out there that totally benefit by that and are really good at that. I'm just not that person. I'm very much just jump in and figure it out. And I think it's given me an advantage throughout the years because all of my experience is actual real life experience. You know, so rather as reading in a book on this is how you should manage a restaurant, that's all I've been doing my entire life, or this is how you should cook, but this is the way I've been cooking my entire life. You know, so it's just that life experience is, I think it's invaluable.
Absolutely. I mean, not to be a hypocrite, so just so everyone knows, I mean, I graduated college, I have a 4-year degree, but whenever anyone asks me if I'm going to get my master's, I always respond with, I already have it. You know, like I've earned that. Like, I know more than any classroom could really teach me. And not to be arrogant enough to know, like, I know there's things I don't know, but just the textbook application of it is going to be different than what I'm actually needing to implement in my real career versus what some guy wrote about in a book, you know, 5 years ago, whatever version of the textbook you have. So it's just,
I'm there. I just have to be somewhat like, delicate, because I do still have 2 children that aren't me.
Sure, yeah.
You know? And if they're listening to this, they'll be like, screw college. Yeah.
I'm going to do what Mom did and be in a punk rock band in Oregon.
She said there's no need for it.
That's funny. So how old are your kids?
My son just turned 21 and my daughter is 17.
Okay. So is the 21-year-old in school, in college?
Unfortunately, my son is like me.
Yeah.
So he's finding himself right now. My daughter just got accepted to U of A.
Oh, that's great. My son is 1 year old, so I have a while until we're having this conversation. I was curious.
Yeah, so they love you still and want to cuddle.
Oh yeah, and he's learning how to walk and do all that kid fun stuff. But
that's awesome.
So that leads to another question I had for you was, how do you balance, you know, being a successful chef and the runner of a nonprofit and mom? Because I know even for me to lock you down for an hour, it was, nope, this wouldn't work because kids and this wouldn't work. And we're trying to find a time. So, which I absolutely respect. Don't take the wrong way, because family is so important. But it's got to be hard, right, to be CEO of the family and CEO of the business.
You know, it's rough, but to my benefit, it's always been the kids and I. Like, their father left when my daughter was 3 months old. So it's just been the 2 kids and I forever. So the balance game came really early, and they've always just been with me. So through everything, through creating the organization, through opening restaurants, through delivering meals to our patients, to sitting at information booths at wellness fairs, like, they've been by my side throughout this entire process. So as granted, as hectic and as crazy as it is, like, I really don't know any different. So it's not like one day I had all this support and amazing, like, normal life, and then one day it changed. Like, it's always been like this. So I don't really know any different.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
No, it absolutely makes sense. And really, your kids are lucky. I mean, you've set up such a great example, just what you've said. I mean, they're not going to know anything other than you just hustling hard to make it all work. And that's going to rub off on them one way or another. So.
Oh, no, I'm super lucky. They're such rad humans. Like, they are the first ones that if something, you know, somebody drops a piece of paper, they're there picking it up. Or it's like, you know, a person is walking towards a door, they'll run in front of them and open it. Like, I'm super, super lucky that they've just turned into and are turning into just amazing human beings.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Super lucky.
And I would say, I mean, for little I know of you, what you just said, it's probably not luck. It's you. it's what you've set, and they're watching you. So they're mirroring you. So you might be too humble to say it, but you must be doing a good job, because there's not luck involved there. That's you raising good kids.
I don't know. I'm pretty lucky.
So back to cooking, in my research leading up to this, you're balancing mom life, you're balancing your career, and then you end up on freaking TV on Chopped, and you win, it's so cool. I was joking with you before we hit record, is that I'm a very frugal person. So in our house, I'm the chef, and I like to play this game where, like, I get the refrigerator and the pantry down to as few ingredients as possible before I restock them. And I'm making these crazy things just with what's left over. And you know, much my wife's chagrin sometimes because it's not the, the best tasting things. I'm not, you know, I don't have the experience you do in cooking, but so I love that show. That's my long-winded way of saying that. So that's awesome that you're a winner. And I just want to talk about that because that has to be such a wild experience. Everything from however you audition to be on it to finding out that you're going to be on it to what it was like to be on it. So would you mind sharing that with us?
Yeah, totally. Well, actually, they called the diner and like asked for me, said who they were, blah, blah, blah. Lisa, the manager of the diner, she's like, no, she's not here. Like, whatever, I'll take a message. And then she tells me, she's like, yeah, they said they were from CHOP and want to talk to you. I'm like, whatever. And she looked at the area code. She's like, it's 212. I'm pretty sure it's them. And I'm like, all right, whatever. So I called them back and they're like, yeah, this is CHOP. Would you be interested in, you know, meeting us? Our producers will be in town to be on the show. I'm like, yeah, no, like, I don't think so. Like, I'm really busy with, you know, our running the business and the charity and being a mom. And I went home and I told my daughter, and she's like, Mom, are you kidding me? She's like, that's my favorite show. You have to do it. I'm like, I don't want to do it. I'm not like, just a little quick backstory. Like, I didn't create the charity so that I could be in the public's eye. I literally thought I was just going to be in a kitchen somewhere. Nobody would talk to me. Nobody would look at me. Like, I'm kind of extremely antisocial. I just didn't want to put myself out there anymore. So with her begging, I went back to work. I think they called again a couple days later or sent an email. Anyway, when I spoke to them again, I told them, yeah, I would do it, but only if it was for charity against other charities, or at least for charity, but against maybe other diner cooks. Because I'm not like a real chef, I'm just a cook. And they were like, okay, cool. Sure. And then a few weeks later, I got another email saying, this is the date that you're going to, that we're going to film. We need you here. Bring all your knives. And at that point, I had asked them, is it for charity? And she responded that that was not her department and this was the day I needed to be there. I was like, okay, cool. Well, I don't have a bunch of knives. I have one knife. I took my daughter. We flew there. We stayed in Harlem because the meeting spot was like right below this McDonald's in Harlem. So I really didn't know until I walked out onto the set that it was not against other charities or even diner cooks for that matter. And I walked by and my station was all the way at the end. And so when I walked in, I saw all the chefs like knives. They each brought like seven knives, super fancy. And I was just like, shit, like, I have one knife, like, just don't give me a fish. I don't know how to fillet a fish. Like, I started freaking out. It was like 5:30 in the morning. It was super stressful. I didn't know what I was walking into at all. It was crazy, super crazy. Yeah. So it just went, I guess, well for me. I mean, the results were well, ended up well, but it was just, I mean, if you've seen the episode, it was a complete train wreck. Apparently, I was just less of a train wreck as the other people.
I haven't watched the episode, but I have to go back and find it. But that's interesting. So since you only had one knife, did they provide the rest of the knives?
Nope.
So you just worked with one knife the whole time?
Oh, yeah. And they did end up giving me a fish. And so I freaked out. Like, oh, my God. It was a total disaster. Like, after I came back, I just had nightmares. Because you have to think so quickly. Like, I was just having nightmares, like, oh, you idiot, why didn't you do this? You should have done that instead of this. But you just have to be so quick on your feet, which, to my advantage, I will say that, you know, growing up with not very many items to choose from in your kitchen, it does force you to be creative. And because of the Joy Bus, I mean, I don't know from one week to the next what I'm going to cook because all the produce is donated through our super rad farmer. So I think, I mean, it's kind of like I've been in training for CHOPT my entire career.
Sure. Yeah.
That's now, so a lot of fancy chefs, well, real chefs with a lot of experience get to order really nice product. Like, we're not in that position where you kind of just have to work with what we get.
Absolutely. Well, I love that. I love that you're you have enough humility to say you're not a real chef, you're just a cook. It's like,
I have some people that say it's like really cool you have a podcast, and you know, I've been invited to, I have some speaking engagements coming up, and people are asking me how to do what I'm doing, and I'm just like, what are you guys talking about? I'm just the dude doing this from my house, you know. I'm not a real, you know, whatever podcaster. I'm just doing what I do. And so I feel like we have a little of that in common, where you're not too big for your own britches. Even though you've had success, you're still staying humble, which is awesome.
Just every day, just a struggle.
Yeah, a new opportunity, right? Not a challenge, it's an opportunity.
There you go.
So then back to Joy Bus. And so I know the answer because I've read up on this, but for people that don't know, how did it really get started?
Well, it started when my friend Joy became ill with ovarian cancer. I want to say 2009. Unfortunately, I knew Joy because I was friends with her sister, Tina, who passed away several years before Joy did. Once Tina passed away, Joy and I became closer friends. And then when she got sick, I started just making treats to bring to her because she didn't really, she had an amazing husband, an awesome son. Her best friend lived on the other side of town and would drive to hang out with her every single day. Like, she really did have some awesome people around her. So the only way I knew just to show her that I cared was to cook. So I would just create these little treats and come by and hang out. And it was kind of slow. It was that inspired me to create the Joy Bus in her honor on a larger scale and go to other people's homes and bring them rad food and companionship and just let them know that people care and try to just stoke them out. I honestly thought, like, when I was thinking of the idea, that there had to be something like this that existed. I mean, how could there not be? There's so many people that are homebound, whether it's, you know, from cancer or some other debilitating disease. And unfortunately, there wasn't anything that I could find that was doing this. So it was difficult in the sense that I had to recreate the wheel rather than find something that I could model it after. But I mean, fantastic that I was able to easily partner with the Case Manager Society of America, and they immediately started referring patients to us. And then once I found our farmer, then I had the ability to get fresh organic produce.
It's amazing. It's just like it all fell in your lap, really, once you decided to do it.
Well, I don't know about fell in my lap. It was freaking hustle.
Yeah.
But it was rad the way that the community started coming together, and especially the restaurant community here in Arizona. I mean, I wouldn't have been able to do it without their support, because we have so many awesome, like, legitimate chefs in town that will step up and help prepare the patient meals, will run specials in their restaurants for, like, pick an item on their menu and donate a percentage to us, you know, every so often. Like, we're so lucky that I'm sure there's other communities out there just like ours, but I feel very, very fortunate that the people in our community have really taken ownership of our mission, you know, especially the food industry, and helped it grow throughout these years.
So why do you think that is? I mean, how have you spread the word in your community to have them take that ownership?
You know what? It probably has a lot to do with the fact that it is my industry. It's all I've ever done. So those connections already existed. And I think everybody, you know, wants to find a way that they can give. And maybe that's one of the reasons that people are deterred from giving, is they just don't know what to do or who to give to. Whereas the local chefs and restaurateurs here, you know, they feel a connection to what we're doing because it's food. I mean, and who in this industry isn't passionate about food? I mean, people that aren't in this industry are passionate about food. So it's that ownership that's easily created between the restaurateurs and chefs and our mission.
That's awesome.
I think.
Yeah, I think so too. So what would you say, you know, you say it didn't fall in your lap and that it took hustle and hard work. So throughout this whole journey, what was the hardest part about starting the Joy Bus?
I would say the hardest part was balance, oddly enough, just because, you know, being a single mom, I was working 2 to 3 jobs while I was starting it, and I would basically ditch my full-time day job every Friday. I was a remote employee, so I would just say, oh, I have a meeting here, and then prepare all the food, and then I would personally drive it to all the patients' homes. So it took probably 3 years of doing that before we had enough funding for me to jump in and do it full-time. So it was a lot of balancing, a lot of finagling, a lot of getting people to believe in us, a lot of me sitting at health fairs, a lot of my children, you know, sitting at booths explaining what we were doing. Apart from that, I would say the hardest part was actually filing the 501c3 paperwork. I'm not an attorney. I'm not anyone specialized in legal jargon whatsoever. And so it took me probably a year and a half to finally get that approved. The guy that was my contact at the IRS was super sweet. He's like, honey, he's like, most people hire attorneys to do this. I'm like, yeah, well, I'm a mom trying to start an organization. Like, I barely have the lights kept on. An attorney is not in my future. So it just took me, it took a little longer than it should have, and a lot more work than it should have, just because I didn't have those resources available to me.
Sure. I mean, I love your passion for this, and I'm just curious. You started with your friend Joy, but then what about it made you want to keep it going and make it a bigger thing than just you doing something nice for your friend? Because it is a hard thing to do, and it's not something people do every day, you know? See, like, was there a moment where it like crystallized for you? You're like, okay, like, this is bigger than just my one friend. I need to do this. Like, what was that evolution?
You know what? As cheesy as it may sound, like, I don't sleep very well at night. Like, my brain doesn't turn off. So I would like get up in the middle of the night and like watch TV or read. And one night when I was up, Mr. Holland's Opus was on TV. Have you ever seen that?
I have not, no.
Oh, it's super rad. Check it out. So that came on, and it's a really inspiring movie. And this is like 2:30 in the morning, and I start bawling. I'm like, God, like, what am I doing with my life? Like, I'm selling cheese. I'm doing this. Like, what kind of impact am I making on the community? Like, what kind of role model am I being for my children? Like, I'm doing nothing to help anyone other than myself or my kids. And it was like that thought that, you know, as humans, we should probably contribute to society, leave some sort of mark, do something to help the, you know, society as a whole. And it was kind of that moment that I decided to just jump in and make it happen, like completely just dive in. Like I said, super cheesy, but
no, it's not cheesy. Well, other than the fact you said you were selling cheese, that's cheesy.
Damn it! I didn't even think of that correlation.
No, that's great. No, I don't think it's cheesy at all. I mean, I think it's a lot of us have that realization, but then not a lot of people act on it. And so I just think it's really awesome that you had that thought and you didn't just dismiss it as a 2 a.m. pondering while you're watching TV. You know, went to bed, woke up the next day, and you made it happen, and you've affected so many people in such a positive way. It's commendable.
Oh, thanks.
So what would you say, you know, throughout this, you had to have some people that doubted you and then some people that really built you up. So what was the best piece of advice somebody gave you as you were starting this whole organization from nothing?
Gosh, that's a really good question. I don't know if it's necessarily... I mean, I'm just lucky to surround myself with some amazing humans. Like, there's just been so many, not only patients, but volunteers who, you know, have come up to me and just told me, like, what a difference we're making or how their life's impacted by being able to go and sit with, let's just say, Mary, you know, in her house and, like, what a difference it's making to them. Like, it's just all of that. I don't know. In the beginning, it was really, really rough because, I mean, we're servicing homebound cancer patients. So a lot of our patients in the beginning passed away. So, like, there was a lot of tears, and my daughter would just be like, Mom, like, why are you doing this? Like, why are you doing something that makes you cry? And I just, you know, had to keep telling her, like, I think, you know, what we're doing is making a difference. And that was early on. And over the years, I really do think we are, because our patients are just affected by the volunteers that are going into their homes. The volunteers are going into their homes. They're becoming friends with them. They're calling them on days that they're not delivering meals. The volunteers themselves are giving, they have a purpose. Like, they're making a difference in Mary's life that they didn't even know existed 2 weeks ago. Like, it's just such a rad circle of humanity and community that I can't even tell you. Every day when I walk through the doors in the diner, like, I literally say, like, I'm just the luckiest person in the world. I mean, who gets to wake up every day and do this? Like, it's, I'm just super freaking lucky.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's a really just, I agree. I mean, to me, I'm not affecting cancer patients, but to me, the similarity I draw with this podcast is I love talking to people that don't realize that they have something to say, you know? That, you know, at the end of the day, everybody matters, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It all comes down to whether you have cancer or you don't, but you know, you don't think your life is of significance until you volunteer and you enter this person's home and you see that you make a difference. And it's just as human beings, if we get outside of our own heads and out of our own way and focus, like you said, on what am I doing to serve the community way back, like when you had that revelation, like, what's my legacy? What am I going to leave on this world? And once we realize that, we will gain more than we ever realized by giving things away and by servicing others than not servicing ourselves. It's the ultimate realization that we're one big community, even though we're in separate ones, that we're all a part of it. And it's just awesome. I love everything you're saying. You're getting me like excited, and I want to drive out to Arizona and like hang out. Let's do it. So I hope people listening feel the same.
It's the coolest place ever. Like, I can't tell, like, before I started the Joy Bus, I'm very much like I said, I'm like super loner, total introvert. I'm like always just had this chip on my shoulder and this thought that everybody's out for themselves. Like, nobody cares about anybody else except for themselves. But I'm in a position now, a very unique, a very lucky, a very fortunate position that I literally see the best people ever, like every single day, like selfless humans who are just here to give and selfless humans that are there to receive. Like, it's such a fortunate position that I'm in.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really awesome. So I asked you about the advice that you received. People that are listening to this, you know, this thing reaches a few thousand people and hopefully it grows, but it's still a lot of people. So to the few thousand that are listening, if you had to give them a piece of advice, you know, if somebody's out there thinking, I have this idea for a nonprofit, I want to launch it, or I just, you know, do I or don't I don't do this thing that's bigger than themselves, right? Just like you've done. What piece of advice would you give them?
I would say just jump in and do it. Like, don't even think. If I would have thought or looked into how difficult it would have been to make this happen, you know, 8-9 years ago, I don't know if I necessarily would have done it. I might have been scared. Just jump. Like, what do you have to lose? So it doesn't work. So you wake up next week and you jump into something else. Like, I mean, you're only here once, as far as I know. I could be wrong. So why not just dive in and be passionate and make the most out of life?
Amen. I love that. I totally subscribe to that. And I agree. I've been on other podcasts and they've asked me that too. Like, hey, if someone's going to ask start a podcast, what advice would you give? And I always say the same thing you said. Just do it. Just get a microphone and hit record and just do it, because you're never going to know everything. But the way you're going to learn is just by rolling up your sleeves and diving in. So I definitely, definitely agree with what you said.
Right on.
So how would you describe your whole journey so far? You know, life as a chef, life through Chopped, life starting the Joy Bus, single mom. How would you wrap that up into three words?
Three words?
Yeah, it can be a phrase, can be three individual words, but how would you just, you know, sum it up?
Survival mode, lucky, and hardworking. Hardworking, one word, right?
Yeah, and we can hyphenate survival mode. Survival mode, lucky, and hardworking. I can make that work.
There you go.
Well, I think you've touched on that a little bit, but just explain it. Like, so why those three?
You know, it's just been like a constant struggle. Like, I've been in survival mode ever since I can remember, kind of just how I roll. And I'm just, all you can do is just work your ass off to make it through each day and then just feel super lucky that you pulled it off. Like the fact that I'm here and I have two amazing children who are amazing humans and I'm surrounded by just awesome people, like that's pretty damn lucky.
I do not disagree. I agree. So for those of us not in Arizona, is there a way that we can support the Joy Bus?
Please. You can go to our website. It's thejoybusdiner.org and our Facebook page or Instagram. But there's donation links on all of our pages where they can donate. They can donate in honor of or in memory of someone that they've lost to cancer as well or someone that's fighting. And we have a legacy wall in the restaurant where we can put up plaques in honor of loved ones. Or just, I mean, send us a note. Let us know if you need help or you know someone that needs help or you have a cool recipe that helps somebody you know that's struggling through cancer. I mean, just to be a part of our community.
Right on. I'll make sure that we link to all of that when we post this episode to make it easy for everyone. And just again, I want to say thank you for your time. I know that you're very busy and appreciate your time and your words and, you know, what you've learned along the way. I'm sure people that are listening will be able to learn something from it as well. And hopefully we can grow your community. And I thank you for helping me grow mine.
Well, I appreciate you reaching it out. Thank you so much for thinking of us.
All right, that's a wrap for this week's episode. Thank you very much to Jennifer Caraway for being our guest this week and for all she does with the Joy Bus. It's a great organization with a wonderful mission. For more information on the Joy Bus, follow them on Instagram at thejoybus.org and check out their website, www.thejoybusdiner.com. And there they have donate buttons to support their mission. You can be a part of their mission of spreading joy and great meals to those going through the cancer journey. And if you have a really cool story out there like Jennifer's and you want to help share it with the world, I want to help you do that. So find me on Instagram at RTJPodcast or email me at Miles, M-Y-L-E-S, at RTJMedia.com and we'll spread the word. Until next time, everybody, relish the journey. Thanks for being a traveler and go spread some joy.